Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, All the Way In.
And he settled me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that the bow and the steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast also given me a shield of my salvation, and thy right hand holded me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. Thank you for, amen, from last gathering to this gathering, how you said this is the word of the Lord. So now, God, give me articulation of speech, God. Anoint that which I will say, Lord, and put it together in a manner, Lord, that Christ would be formed in us, Lord. Lord, we're not just looking, oh God, for your hand, Lord. We want to, oh God, perceive the precepts of your heart, Lord. We don't want loaves today, Lord. We want your commandments, Lord. Teach us to do your will, Lord. Make us your disciples, Lord. Take us all the way in, Lord. Show us what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Show us what it is to be a light unto the world. Show us what it is to bind up and cast out the devil, Lord. Do a work today, Lord. And Lord, when you're finished, Lord, oh God, let us be finished, Lord. When you stop, God, let us already be sitting down. And then, Lord, let our hearts and our words be acceptable in your sight. For truly, you are our strength and you are our redeemer, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant are listening to obey. Speak, Lord. Your servants listening to obey. This is our prayer. And all God's people said amen and amen. Somebody say it with me one more time. Lord, take us all the way in. Thank you, minstrels. Thank you, psalmists. Thank you, security. Thank you, hospitality. Thank you, awaiting people. Very conscious of I've taken a little bit of time in praying and exhorting, so I'll be cognizant of how long I preach, but I really do have, amen, something not only to say, but I really believe that you need to hear, because God is up to, as Isaiah 28 said, it says strange, but that word means a different work. God is up to a different work. He's doing something new. He's doing something fresh, but he's doing something also that is impactful in the moment that we're living in. And today we find ourselves in Psalms 18. The writer of the Handbook of Wisdom of Books and Psalms write that the book of Psalm was a hymnal for Israel, or for ancient Israel. The book of Psalms, when we come to it, it is a hymnal. They sung these songs. And one of the things that the Lord told us last week is to make sure that we keep singing spiritual songs, all right? So the book of Psalms is an ancient hymnal of the people of God. It is a compilation of 150 songs that reveals how the people of Israel turn to God in all of life experiences. So when we begin to read the Psalms, we're seeing what God's people did in like situations. I really believe what one writer said, that there is nothing new under the sun, all right? But the only difference is probably in how it occurs and how it is wrapped in new wrappings. But so when we look at the Psalms, they are talking about what they went through. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the Bible cannot speak to present conditions. It's a living organism. It's alive. And God can make something written long time ago fit right what we need right now. Somebody say amen right there. So it is a book of Psalms with a full range of life experience, from tearful laments to jubilant shouts, to praise, to reflections of emotion. The Old Testament believers kept singing and kept writing as they were attempting to approach a holy and a high God. They wrote these psalms trying to approach a holy and a high God. The psalmist, it serves as a pattern for how to draw near to God. The psalm serves as a pattern of how to draw near to God. And ministry, y'all can be released, all right, so y'all can get a little bit more comfortable and I can look in your faces. So the psalms, it's serving to show us how to draw near to God. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice want to draw just a little bit closer to God? Is there anybody? Is there anybody, all right? Is there anybody? Well, if that is you, then I highly recommend picking up a psalm and just begin to read. Pick up a psalm and begin to read. And can I sidebar real quickly for a moment? I was leaving the house this morning with my Bible, and God told me to go back and get my Bible. Okay, y'all stay with me. This is a sidebar. This is really not what I want to talk about. But I was leaving with my Bible. For those of y'all know, this is a smart device that contains, you know, my Bible. But God told me to go back home. He said, I was pulling out the driveway. He said, go back and get your Bible. And I'm like, Lord, why to go get your Bible? He said, because I want you to tell the people something, that some of us need to go back and get this Bible because the Bible in here is confused with everything else that's in here. And everything else in here is not on the level with what's in here. Come on, tell your neighbor, it might be time to pick up a Bible. It might be time to pick up a Bible. Because too often, we've placed the Bible on the same level of everything else in here. And this right here, it's high. It's lifted. It cannot be desecrated. It's applicable. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It's for today. It's for the senior citizens. It's for the millennials, and it's for the babies yet to be born. So it is our Bible. Don't confuse it with everything else in here. Come on, do me a favor. Tell somebody, don't confuse it with everything else in here. This Bible is what the Old Testament and the Psalm is and the Psalm writers used to draw near to God. The Psalms were written in poetry because poetry, the writer says, is better suited to accomplish to expressing the feelings of the heart, and especially worship towards a true and living God. In the poetry of the Psalms, the writer attempts to transcend limitations of normal human language. And that's important because whenever we're trying to draw nearer to God, we have to find transcendent language. We have to find the right words. We have to find that which God acceptable. I don't know if y'all understanding what I'm saying here. Some of our modern talk, we can't talk like that when we're trying to get close to God. Are y'all still here with me? He needs right words, and he needs them put them to, he needs them put together and placed in their right place so he can make sure you don't think he's common like everybody else you approach like that. Are y'all still here? So the psalmist says poetry is for language that can transcend normal language, and it can use words that are lifted and high. It creates atmospheres, and it creates, it says a true poem will create that which is beyond critical analysis. And now it's just true expression of how one truthfully feels. There are different types of psalms, and I'm just trying to give you a backdrop till I get to where I'm really trying to get to. There are different kinds of psalms, and we need to understand, because every now and then we need to pull out a descriptive psalm, telling God how to describe how we feel, but also how we feel about him. Not only the scripture psalms, but there are psalms of nature. And I'm going to move a little bit faster, but also there are psalms of that's in reference to his messianic being. There are enthronement songs. There are wisdom psalms. There are songs of trust. And when I got to that, God said some of us need to read the trust songs so our trust in humanity and God can be restored. I'm talking to people that got trust issues. Might need to read some trust songs. Psalms like Psalms 127. I will trust in the Lord. Today's psalm is what they call imprecatory songs. And it is a psalm that has distinguishing languages that invokes divine judgment upon the psalmist's enemy. Good God Almighty. It is a psalm that the psalmist calls on God to deliver him from their enemies. And he asks, or the psalmist asks God to pour calamity upon all those that have wronged him. And there are debates, are these type of requests acceptable in God's sight? And my response to that is, God gonna do what he want to anyway. So all we have to do is ask what is in alignment with his word. Are y'all still here? So Psalms 118, David begins to cry out, Lord, be merciful unto me. Let me get deliverance from my enemy. Let me become free to walk in the newness of life, walking on the King's highway that I can go all the way in. It's a process. There are five things that I see in Psalms 118 that is applicable for us going all the way in. Are y'all ready to hear them this morning? Yes, number one, thank you. Number one, if we're going to go all the way in, when we read Psalms 18, verse 1 through 6, and for time's sake, I wish I could, but I won't read it. But in Psalms 18, 1 through 6, we find the number one way, how do we go all the way in? Number one says, who is God in comparison of who we allow others to make him be? Who is God in comparison to who we allow others to make God be? If you're not careful, culture will make God real small and everything else real, real big. But we must determine, and this is what David did. Most theologians believe this is David writing. He made God his rock. He made God his provider. He made God his deliverer. He made God so big that everything else became enormously small. And this is real big for where we are in culture. Who is God to us in comparison to who others are trying to make him be? Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor, say, neighbor, who is God to you? If we're not careful, the surrounding culture will make God this little bitty being in this little bitty box that is outdated, unable, and archaic. You believe in that God? You believe in the God of the Bible? Y'all please hear me, because it's happening and we're wondering, why don't we believe God for miracle signs and wonder? And the truth of the matter is, we, culture has made God so small that he is not able to do miracle signs and wonder. And it's not because he's not able, it's because we've allowed him to be made real, real small. I like what David says. He began to say things that what he was saying was, God is my rock. God is my shepherd. God is my provider. God is my way maker. God is my bill payer. God is my peace in the midst of the storm. I'm trying to get you to understand who God is to me. God is everything. Without him, I'm nothing. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my miracle worker. Who is God in comparison to who they trying to make him? You have to answer that. Are y'all listening to me? I can't answer that for you. I don't care how much I try, I can't determine who you see God to be. You decide that by every decision. You decide that by every confession. Are y'all still here? You decide that by how you live on a daily basis. daily basis. And God can be this great, big, enormous, able to do exceedingly and abundantly, or he can be, I don't know if God gonna do that. And it's all predicated on who you allow God to be. And I love what David says. I love the Lord. Who God is happening around our love relationship with God. If you love him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all your strength, he going to keep getting bigger and bigger. If you love him when he making a way, and if you love him part-time, that's all he'll be is just sometime God. But if you have an expressive and an overpowering and an everything love, he keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So point number one, who is God in comparison of whom others are making him to be? Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to answer that. You got to answer that. Somebody just say, he's my everything. And some days you got to say, he's my provider. And some days you're going to have to say, he's my healer. And some days you're going to have to say, he's my way maker. And some days you're going to have to say, he's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is God to you? Because if he's made big enough, and we know he can be made bigger because David on another occasion said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. If he's made big enough, he might become big enough to take us all the way in. He might become able to take us beyond what we think we experience. If he's made big enough, ain't nothing impossible to our God. Number two, if we're going to go all the way in, he has to be a big God. But number two, where are we standing when God enters through and into the darkness? And you're going to have to read the text to get a better understanding. Where are we standing when God enters into and through the darkness? In the text says that God came down in the midst of the darkness. And if you do a study of this, this is not the first time that God entered into and through darkness. And God asked me a question when I got to this point. When I enter to and I enter through darkness, where are you standing, Lawrence? And this is where you're going to have to think a little bit. When God enters through darkness and God enters to darkness and now comes to our place of abiding, where are we standing? Because later on, he's going to start talking about the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord but him that have clean hands and a pure heart? So I'm going to get to where I'm going. When God comes down and God enters into earth, modern earth today, where do we stand? And this is very important because I told you last week, in order to be on the King's highway, we have to have a heart in pursuit of holiness. And the truth of the matter, God is entering into darkness. Y'all don't get mad with what I'm getting ready to say. And he's finding us in the midst of darkness, being the darkness. And in love with the darkness. And he's trying to bring us out because where there's darkness, there's supposed to be a bright light. And we are supposed to be that bright light. So when God enters through the darkness, where do we stand? What if he really did reward us according to our works? Wow. Y'all come a little closer. What if he gave us what we deserve? And y'all, please hear me because I'm trying to get somewhere. God is trying to get us to a place. And I know grace is abounding. I know that. I understand all of that. But God is trying to get us to a place that with our minds and with our soul and with our spirit and with our body, we are pleasing to the Lord. And y'all didn't say not one word. It's okay when we're babies stumbling and falling. It's okay when we're toddlers that we ain't got it all together. But some of us are too mature to be claiming a good man falls seven times. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Some of us been in this thing a little bit too long to be slipping and sliding like that. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm gonna preach it anyway. Y'all get this in y'all real good. I am not leaving from preaching about holiness. I'm not leaving from that. Because holiness without, no man gonna see the Lord. And I think we want to see the Lord. And if we want to see the Lord, then we're gonna have to be what? I'm glad I got two hand claps over here. So where are we when God comes down? And I don't have time to walk through the text like I want to, but the Bible says that God came down through the darkness, but this is not his first time. In the book of Exodus, it happened. In the book of Deuteronomy, it happened, that God comes through the darkness. And when he comes down in Exodus, they tell Moses, Moses, you go meet with God because God's too holy. And God's looking for a generation that does not speak to Moses to go meet the God, but says, God, here we come. God, y'all didn't hear what I said. God is not looking for a Moses to come up. He's now looking for a generation, regardless of age and regardless of gender and regardless of whatever social class, whatever class we're in. He's looking for a generation that when he comes down, that we say, God, here we come. Where are you when God enters through the darkness? Come on, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, where you at? Where you at? And I know that's bad English. Where you at? 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 This is not the hour for slipping and hiding and stumbling and falling. This is the hour for standing and having pure hands and a clean heart. And get me good. I'm not saying that you're perfect. I'm just saying you are in pursuit of holiness. I want to be holy. Come on, y'all practice with me. Say, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be. I want to be holy. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't want to be in the clique. I don't want to be in the club. I don't want y'all to think that I'm barely saved. I want y'all to know from the guttermost to the most, Pastor Lawrence saved. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I want y'all to know if there is no other, but I'm not saying there's nobody, but I want y'all to know, no, he don't do that. I want y'all to say, no, he don't go there. Y'all, no, he don't cut. No. I want y'all to know that I'm in pursuit of holiness because holiness is still right. Holiness is still right. And I'm a little concerned because the Church of Jesus Christ ain't concerned about holiness no more. We got new words like acceptance and love and tolerance and grace abounding. Paul told us in Romans, grace is not for us to continue in sin. Grace is for us to approach the throne of grace and not die. But live. Where are you when God comes down through the darkness? Where are you? He's trying to come down to bring us up. But when he comes down, he judges righteously. And he looks for pure hands and a clean heart. And lives that not have lifted up into vanity. So where are we? He wants to take us all the way in, but he wants us to know where we really are. Number three, and I'm almost there, you can get ready to doxology me. If God wants to take us all the way in, we must allow him to draw us out. David says in the psalm, the Lord has drawn me out. Y'all listen to me real good. We are in a moment that God's pulling us out. And I don't know if y'all can hear me. We are in a moment, y'all listen real good, that God is pulling us out. And I'm on number three, media, if y'all don't mind. This pulling us out is disturbing a lot of things about our lives. He's trying to draw us out. He told us a long time ago, come out from among them and be you separate. And then I will be your God and I will be your Father. And y'all listen to me real good. Some of us listen, some of us didn't listen. So since we didn't come out, he's going to draw us out. And if you don't think he'll draw us out, go read Matthew chapter number 4 and go read Luke chapter number 4. When Jesus wouldn't get over there in the wilderness, the Bible said, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now please hear me.
There's some mindsets that God has drawn us out of. There's some ideologies that we've held on to for centuries. God has, no, I don't want you to think like that. Come on, do me a favor. Tap on somebody and say, God said he don't want you to think like that. And because you wouldn't come out, he's drawing you out. But I want you to hear the rest of it. It's disturbing everything about our lives. You can't talk like that no more. You can't think like that no more. You can't be like that no more. You can't be with them no more. No. You got to go there now. God is drawing us out. Y'all better please hear me. Because the husbandman is the first partaker of the fruit. He's shaking up our world. And I keep hearing him say that again. He's not going to let you think like that about yourself. Drawing you out. He's not going to let you have that ideology about life because it's going to hinder you from going to destiny. I'm working on a preaching manual. And I'll probably release some of it next weekend. I got to preach in North Carolina. And when I was getting towards the end of the preaching manual, God says, preaching with passion, preaching with clarity, and preaching with power. And then at the end of it, said, God told me to say now, and women doing it too. And I'm like, God, I thought I got over that and I don't have to preach about that. He said, no, you're getting ready to go deeper with it. Why am I telling you that? Some very things that we've skirted around that we really don't want to deal with. And we want to, God has said, no, I'm drawing you out of that to take you into this. Go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 5. He said he brought them out to take them in. Y'all better please hear me. He's disturbing some things about our lives because he's trying to draw us out.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.